All this together. Big cow, big cow. I tell you, man, when I looked up and realized, I said, man, if I knew everybody was going to be in town, I would put Henry in Cortland with this. Lord, I'm slipping. I am slipping, man. I'm slipping. Goodness. I let them get away from me.
I'll be back next week.
Oh, hey, man, brother.
Let me do something.
Hey, don't worry about it. It's already put out. Guys, we're going to be over in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a good book. Famous scripture. Jeremiah 29.
What chapter did you say?
Jeremiah, we're going to do, actually go to chapter 25, then we're going to bounce to chapter 29, chapter 25. 70 years of captivity. It's a new year. Oh man, new beginning. Opportunity just to shake off all those things that have been hindering us, to deal with some things that we may have been avoiding. Don't be hating. Having to just deal with things that, you know, some things we don't mind, like, I'm going to deal with it. You know, bring it to my doorstep ready. And something's like, I just wanted to go away.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go away. Lord, I feel like Jesus, I'm willing to do it if we can deal with it in a different way. You know, and Jesus said, you know, but do I have to drink this particular cup? You know, this cup, you know, it's like, it's just a little strong, you know, but can we do it this way? Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord tells us like he tells Jesus, nah, this is the way we got to go. We got to go this way. And then, it's challenging sometimes, but this is how we break out of captivity. This is how we get to freedom. If you don't know about Jeremiah, he's known as the weeping prophet, and you know, he's one of God's prophets. And he's sent to warn the great nation of Judah and the great city of Jerusalem. And you know, prophets, sometimes they are heard and sometimes they are not heard. It just depends on if they are saying what you want to hear.
Amen.
Or what you need to hear.
Amen.
And we never do really care for anybody who says what we need to hear. Now, if you say, well, I want to hear, you all right with me, because that makes me feel good and warm and all fuzzy inside. Amen. But if you say what I need to hear, man, it's just painful. I hate dealing with it. It's not right. In my mind, it's not right. But Lord said, right. No, it's the right thing to do.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Jeremiah is talking to the great nation. That's who he's talking about, to the great nation of Judah. And he's giving some warnings here. And picking up in verse 1 of chapter 25 of Jeremiah, it says, the word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So we have all the parties involved here who are going to be participating in what's going to happen here. It says, so Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. Mm. Wow. We know about that. Don't we?
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Well, he counting years. He said for 23 years. He like, you know, according to somebody's birth and them growing up, he said, I've been saying the same thing over to you again and again and again. And he said, you want to know what the result is? You're not listening. God knows you're not listening. He says, and though the Lord has sent all his servants, Jeremiah, he says, but all his servants, he says, the prophets to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land. The Lord said to you and your fathers forever and ever, do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made, then I will not harm you. So let's stop there. So he tells me, he says, look, I've been telling you for almost 23 years, according to this young man, Josiah, who's been raised up. And he said, God has not only sent me, but he sent other servants, other prophets. And they have said the same thing over and over again and again. He said, let me bring it down to you. He says, you've been advised not to worship other gods, that you have somehow made with your own hands. He says, understand what's going on here. He said, you've been advised to turn away now from the things, from evil practices, evil thoughts. He says, over and over again, you've been advised. And he says, the results of this, if you listen to what God says, no harm will come to you. You know, I regularly, I think about being raised as a child. And all of us, I've had that privilege and opportunity to be with the kids, to raise them as a child, middle school, teen. And during those years, there were some great years with family, some great times, some great laughter, some great old shows. But during those times, we all have had warnings placed on us. And sometimes we listened to the warnings and no harm came to us.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes, for some reason, we had a lapse in memory. We felt we wanted to test the waters or do or go against the will or the wishes of our parents or our grandparents or auntie. And the consequences were really dire. I mean, they were really harmful. And what I've learned growing up, that if you make every effort to do the right thing, that no harm would come to me. That's what I learned. I learned that my parents would take care of me, that they would protect me, that they would provide for me as long as I live within the boundaries that they set for me. You know, I look at these guys here. I look at what's going on. We're talking about, hey, the nation of Judah in the city of Jerusalem. And what we're talking about is just their obedience to just live within the boundaries that God has set.
Yeah.
We're like them too. Sometimes hard for us to stay in bounds when it comes to following God.
That's right.
Come on.
Sometimes for some reason whatsoever, we want to make a decision to step out of bounds. Whether it's in anger, whether it's with attitude, whether I just want to know. I don't care if you know what's on the outside of this. I just want to know. But for some reason, we make decisions to step out of bounds. And we've paid for it in life.
Yes, we have.
We've paid for it in many different ways. And then we found ourselves looking back saying, I wish I could go back and do it different.
Yep.
But God says that ship has sailed. Mm. That train has left the station. It's going forward. Time does not go back in reverse. You know, God loves you and I, and God wants you and I to find joy living within the boundaries that he has set for our lives. Because God wants nothing but the best for us. God wants to see you and I prosper in this life. Just not financially prosper, but spiritually prosper.
Right.
He wants to see you prosper in your jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He wants to see you prosper in your family,
your
relationship. Anything that you put your hand to, he wants to see you prosper.
That's right.
But they say the way to go about doing it is you need to find joy in living within the boundaries that God has set for you.
Come on.
That's right.
If you don't find joy nor contentment living within the boundaries that God has set, you will step out of bounds every time.
Amen.
You know, he goes a little further. So as he explains to them, hey, look, man, you've been warned over and over and over and over. But for some reason, you're not listening. We've warned you to the extent that harm will happen to you if you don't listen. And picking up in verse 7, he goes on and says, he says, but you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have provoked me with what your hands have made. And you have brought harm to yourselves. Wow. It says you have provoked the Lord with what your hands have made. You would never think that you can make something that would anger the Lord. Or that you could do something that would anger God. Or have God go against you. You would never think that.
Hmm.
But you know, we all being raised up, we've done things that made our parents say what? Oh, now I'm against you because I'm upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
You've angered me. You've upset me. And that wasn't right. Especially when I told you not to do it. Mm-hmm. Especially when I told you not to go there. Especially, I don't care what so-and-so child is doing. I told you this is what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
And you find yourself in that position. And you know, we think, man, they made gods. They made other things to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And you hate to say it, you know, but I think about when Jesus was with the disciples and they were talking and he's constantly educating them and they're not getting it or they're slow about getting it. And you never think Jesus would say that when the way the world paints Jesus, but Jesus says, aren't you that dense?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus asking them, are they that dumb? Mm-hmm. You know, you just never think Jesus would say that. But scripture has proven and shown that we can have very dumb moments at times.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You have a God who exists outside of time, who is doing all great things for you. And for some reason, you wake up one day, you decide to say, I'm going to make me a God that I can worship. Mm-hmm. God's got to be looking at it like, he can't be doing this. He can't be this done. He's not this slow. I know he's not doing this.
Right.
I know he's not finding something else that I created, like I created him, to take the place of me. Mm. You know, we can get like that in life sometimes. We can get caught up in things in life. We can be like, oh, this is great. It's the best job I've ever had. Making a lot of money, a lot of zeros. You know what? I'm in love with this best woman or this guy. You know, this car is everything, this boat. We can get caught up in a lot of things that were created like us. And all of a sudden, we allow those things to replace God. Mm. And we're like, this is my God. And God's looking at us like, really? Have we come to this point? Where did we disconnect? You see, it's easy to anger and upset God when we begin to abandon God, when we begin to neglect God, when we begin to worship the things around us that God also created.
That's right.
The part that gets me, he says, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Sin. I will not forget this. Sin was showing me sin. Sin, S-I-N, stands for self-inflicted nonsense. Self-inflicted nonsense.
Amen.
And if you look at life, and you look at the sin you got into, you think about it, nobody else can put me in that sin.
That's life. Amen.
I stepped and did that sin.
Amen.
This was self-inflicted, and it made no sense
whatsoever.
Come on. That's what God said. God said, man, the things you're doing, you're bringing harm to yourself.
That's right.
I mean, do you really love pain like that? Do you love punishment like that? I mean, really? Self-inflicted nonsense. We've got to get away from that. Got to get away from that. Verse 8, it says, therefore the Lord God, it says, therefore the Lord Almighty said this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voice of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Wow. Mm. Wow. You know, something I get out of this story here, and I think about, now we know what's going on. We know who the parties are. So Babylon's coming in the picture. God, let you know how it's going. Say, I'm bringing Babylon in. Guess what? You're going to be captive. Now you're not going to belong to yourself no more. You're going to belong to King Nebuchadnezzar in his kingdom. God said, this is how it's going to go down. Because of the self-inflicted nonsense you've been involved with. This is what's going to happen. And he says, it's not going to be for a day. It's not going to be for a month. We hope that the punishment is light, but he said, for 70 years. All I could think about was, goodness, history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Moses and the Israelites. God said, I'm just going to wait till these people die out. 40 years, I'm going to have to walk around in a circle. Wait till the people die. And then when your kids come up, I can work with a new group of people and we can get this right going forward. God said, but I got to save you from yourself right now by putting you somewhere, because obviously you can't make decisions for yourself. So I'm going to put you up under the king and the kingdom of Babylon. God says, Jerusalem's land is going to be ruined, desolate. Ain't nothing happening here. Taking it all away. He says, I'm taking away all your joy and all your gladness. He said, all the millstone, all the excitement that you used to, it's gone. I'm from old school. So when I grew up, you know, I used to get whippings. I remember the paddles, the belt. I remember the braided switches. That's what I remember. I think they stopped the extension cord. My mom told me back in the days, they used to use the extension cords. Lord have mercy. I'm glad I missed that episode. It ain't like you do better. But I'm telling you, man, when you got a spanking, all the joy and gladness went away.
Yep.
The horror and the scorn was coming, especially when they told you it was coming. And you said to come, oh, you knew what horror and scorn was like. Oh, God, it's like gone. And yes, I felt like my behind was desolate. It was just a wasteland that they got done with it.
Yep.
Man. God said he wants us to listen the first time.
Yeah.
He wants us to get it. He doesn't want us to know what the horror and the scorn looks like. But yet in our lives, we can kind of identify just a little bit from growing up and being raised and when we were punished or time out or you put on restriction and all you can do is go from your bedroom to the bathroom. You couldn't even roam through the house. They call you down, let you know when you can eat dinner. You can come out and get a plate. Sometimes like, we'll bring a plate to you. You feel like you're in prison, slide it back up in the door. You know, just things I remember and I get like, wow. When you no longer, when they take away your freedom to make your own decisions, I will make them for you. Mm-hmm. But God wants you and I to be free. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants to have the joyness and the gladness. God said just one condition. Just need to live within the boundaries that I've set. Hear the prophets, the servants I have put in place to aid you along the way in your journey. Just listening to God. Jeremiah 29, we're going to skip over. So these guys, 70 years, God said, man, this is where you're at. Jeremiah 29, verse 10, we know this well. And it's amazing because this just kind of goes together. And then it's a letter to the exile. And in Jeremiah 10, it says, this is what the Lord says. I mean, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. It says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. He says, that's desolated, but I'm going to bring you back. And I want you to look at how powerful God is. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you, this is key, when you seek me with all your heart. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Wow. So who are we talking about? The Lord here. It's good to know we worship a God who is both God of the good and the disaster.
That's right.
God say, I'm on both sides when it comes to taking care of you. But God says, I have this great plan to see you be successful in this life. I have this great plan to see you flourish and grow in this life. I have this great plan to restore the land that I took you from, that I desolated. He said, but I'm going to put you back in it and I'm going to make you prosper in that land. Uh-huh. You know, I think about growing up when I was punished. And although I had to be putting time out and I got spankings, I was put into my room. But when that time was over, my parents would let me back out and bring me right back into the place with the family, living amongst the home, freely to go back and forth, the kitchen, the living room, to watch the TV, out in the yard. It's like, all right now, let's go back. Live within the boundaries. Feel free. I want you to know what gladness is like. I want you to know what joy is like. I want you to flourish, Sydney. I want you to grow. But you know what? When we don't do right, God said for a time, I'm going to put you in captivity. I'm going to isolate you. You need to reflect. You need to learn. You know, I look at this and how God handled Judah, the nation of Judah, Jerusalem. And the biggest thing I want us to take away from this is, how do we value our life? The life that God has given you and I, such a gift. And it's so important that we understand how we need to value this life. Because this life that we have right now, it's a test run. It's a test run for the life that awaits us. Because the life that awaits us, that's eternity. That life don't die. That's forever. So God wants us like, let's get it right here. Let's learn to operate within the boundaries. Let's learn to live within the boundaries. Let's learn to find joy, excitement, and contentment living within the boundaries that I have established. If you're going to be a being or a person who cannot comply and like to live outside the boundaries all the time, can't live with God in eternity, can we?
Nope.
It's hard. It's hard. I remember we took in my cousin. She's about my same age. And so my mom's sister's daughter took her in, and she had a hard time complying with the rules at home in her house. And so, you know, his family like, well, look, let me take him in. I'll help. You know, I help. They'll tuck in, you know, and she did right for, she did good for a while and managed, you know, but then she got on her own, you know, and now, as you get in the world, there's still boundaries to live by, you know. And I remember not too long ago, maybe about 2 years ago or so, there was a call and they were trying to find her a place to live. And I was like, well, what's going on? You know, I don't want some backdrop for it. And say, yeah, you know, people are like, well, nobody want nobody to be homeless, but what's the backdrop? But she's been living her whole life outside the boundaries. Now, it's just not only wanting to comply with, like, family members' household rule, but just in the world, want to do whatever she want to do. Want to just, I want to be free. I don't care who it hurts. I don't care what law it breaks. Living outside the boundaries.
Amen.
But we get older, we find out. Whether we listen, whether somebody tells us over and over again, and we don't listen, but age will begin to tell you. And so she's in her 50s now, and, you know, she's having a hard time. She's struggling, you know. Mm-hmm. And the very woman that she was in conflict with her mom, where nobody would take her in, and her mom is sick, her mom is in and out of the hospice, back and forth, dialysis. Her mom took her back in. Mm-hmm. Still hasn't changed. She still hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. You know, boundaries are there for a reason.
Right.
When you don't live up boundaries, people won't take you in because people don't want that chaos in there. Family loves you to death, but even family would draw a line. God is the ultimate example of family. But God says, I have to draw a line.
Yep.
Because everybody who's going to live within boundaries, I want them to know that when they come to me with eternity, living in eternity, that guess what? It's going to be peace. It's going to be happiness. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be on the same page and one accord. But for those who don't want to be there, God's like, I have no place for you.
Yep.
Because that's not what I want. God has a plan to prosper you and I in everything we do. Question is, do you want to prosper? Do you want to see better days in your walk with God, in your relationship with God? Do you want to see better days in your relationship with one another? Do you want to see better days as you reach out to people?
Amen.
People who are hurting, who are looking for God. Do you want to see better days in your finances? Better days. Do you want to see better days with your kids, your grandkids?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see better days with people? I don't care if they're strangers, families, in-laws, uncles, cousins, police. Do you just want to see better days?
Come on.
2020 is a new year. Mm-hmm. We always say it's a new year, a new chapter. But you know, I recently realized God says the book of life. We all have our own book of life.
Yep.
I'm in chapter 50 right now. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what chapter are you in? What that chapter going to look like?
Amen.
I remember when Miguel was here, Miguel said, man, can you just go back and look at all the chapters God has written in your life or allowed you to just live out? He says, I wonder if God has another planet Earth somewhere way far away we don't even have no idea about, and our lives are the book that they're living by.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow. I never thought about it that way. He said, brother, God can do whatever he wants. That's it. He says, there could be some way on the other side of the universe that we don't even know there's the other side of the universe. How are you writing your book of life? What is it looking like? Does your book of life have more of it saying that you comply with the rules, that you live within the boundaries? Or does your book of life saying, no, you're the person where God has to keep telling over and over and over again because you're not listening? Does your book of life speak more about harm, horror, and scorn in your life? Or does your book of life speak about, guess what? Joy and gladness.
Hmm.
God says he knows the plan he has for you.
Come on.
It just was not only Judah or Jerusalem, but he knows the plan he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those plan is to prosper you and I, and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He says, then you will call upon him and come and pray to him, and he will listen. He says, you will seek him when you find him. He says, you will seek him with all your heart.
Yep.
That's going to be the key. You got to give God everything in everything you do. giving God everything you do. When it comes to loving family, loving each other, loving God, being committed to the cross, devoted to our missions to reach a hurting community.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be devoted to God everything, but you got to seek him with all your heart. Give him everything. Guys, I want to challenge you just to kind of just reflect on this. Look at Jeremiah. Look at the nation of Judah, Jerusalem, how God is always setting us up for success. Yet God wants you to know that if we don't fall in line, he will bring disaster upon us.
Right.
That's one thing God wants us to get. He will bring disaster upon us. But he has no desire to do that. God wants to prosper you and I if we want to prosper. God wants us to seek him with all our hearts if that's what we want to do. The question you have to ask yourself, what do you want from God? What do you want from God? Do you want the good or do you want the bad?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from God? Do you want the good or do you want the bad? And the only way that will be determined is if you choose to live inside of the boundaries that God has set or if you choose to live outside the boundaries. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Good job.